Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Godrej Consumer Products Limited Q2 FY24 Investor Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to the senior management of Godrej Consumer Products Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Neeraj. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss the performance of Quarter 2 FY24. We have with us Nisaba Godrej, Executive Chairperson, Sudhir Sitapati, Managing Director and CEO, and Aasif Malbari, CFO from GCPL Management Team. Without taking much time, I will now hand over to Sudhir for his opening remarks, and then we'll be happy to take your questions. Over to you, Sudhir.
Thanks, Tapan. Thank you for joining us today. I will first start with an organization change. Tapan Joshi, who has been heading Investor Relations, has decided to move on. Vishal Kedia, who has been leading strategy in GCPL, would now head Investor Relations in addition to his current role. I wish both Tapan and Vishal all the best. I will now start with an update of our quarterly performance. In Q2 FY24, GCPL's reported volume grew by 10%, revenue by 6%, constant currency 16%, EBITDA including forex by 30%, PBT by 35%, and PAT without exceptional by 17%. Organic volume grew 6% and revenue 2%, constant currency 12%. Volumes were a bit behind expectations, mainly in India, while profits were ahead of our expectations on the back of structural savings, a faster-than-anticipated RCCL integration, and a benign cost environment for palm oil. Revenue growth lagged volume growth mainly due to lower prices in personal wash, translation impact in Nigeria, and hyperinflation accounting in Argentina. Translation and hyperinflation accounting both being non-cash items. PAT lagged PBT due to our availing of MAT credit in this financial year. Our cash tax rate remains significantly lower. India volumes grew by 11%, revenue by 9%, and EBITDA by 30%. Organic UVG was 4%, and sales growth was 2%. India volume growth was below our expectations and surprising. Household insecticide performed poorly on the back of poor monsoons, but what was surprising was the poor performance of hair color. The category usually dips in July during the month of Shravan when consumers in north and west do not cut their hair or groom it. 2024 was a unique year after 19 years, where a second or Adhik month of Shravan was an added demand dampener. We should have anticipated this better. The integration of Raymond's Consumer is now complete. After a few months of inventory reduction and transition, we had a record September month. We are now operating with approximately 30% of the erstwhile overhead and remain confident of achieving the business case. Indonesia had a very strong quarter with 11% volume growth, 16% revenue growth, and 21% EBITDA growth. Apart from macro tailwinds, the household insecticide business seems to have responded very well to a significant improvement in the efficacy of our products a few quarters ago. GAUM grew volumes by 3%, revenue by -5%, and EBITDA including forex by 49%. Non-cash translation impact has affected both revenue and EBITDA numbers, and this makes the EBITDA performance all the more creditable. LATAM had an excellent quarter and grew UVG at 28%. We continue to make good progress on key strategic pillars of category development and simplification. On category development, we again increased our media spends by 33% in the quarter. We now spend approximately 10% of turnover on A&P, which is approximately 200 basis points more than the same quarter last year and 400 basis points versus the same quarter 2 years ago. This has led to value market share gains in 5 of our top 6 global sales and volume market shares in 6 of 6. We also believe that as a company, our organic volume growth has moved from a five-year CAGR of around 4% to somewhere between mid and high single digits. Our simplification journey is a holistic one to release fuel for growth. Our EBITDA margin is now 20%, and we anticipate steady improvement through various structural cost reduction actions. In our journey to simplify our GAUM business further, we are planning to reorganize our hair fashion business in smaller countries of East Africa, which includes Kenya. We will target to move our operations in these countries to an asset-light royalty model, where our focus will primarily be in the areas of marketing and R&D. Collectively, these businesses contribute approximately ₹500 crores of revenue, but ₹0 of profit. After the reorganization, we expect to report zero sales, but around 50 crores of profit in FY25. We are working to determine if there are any one-time costs or non-cash accounting charges due to these changes in operations in Africa. We look forward to sharing this in the coming quarters as we get greater clarity on the transaction and other factors. We are now net cash positive. I am happy to announce that the board of directors have approved a dividend of ₹5 per share, which will result in a payout of ₹511 crores. We will strive to maintain a steady stream of dividend going forward. You can expect the dividend payout ratio to average about 50% of the annual profit after tax of the company. We broadly feel that we will achieve our guidance for the year both in the organic business and the acquired business, though the overall phasing may be more favorable to Q4 than Q3 given market conditions. Finally, I would wish you and your families a very happy Diwali. Thank you very much.
So shall we open the floor for questions?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks and congrats on good numbers and good to see dividend announcement also. So my first question is on Raymond business. So you mentioned faster scale up. And you also mentioned that the full year ambition is on track. So wanted to understand from the time when you had announced the acquisition in terms of all the key metrics, say in terms of dealer margins, in terms of fixed cost, in terms of cutting down on the MRP versus the actual price selling, etc. All those elements and increasing advertising spend substantially. Where are we? Because you have mentioned most of the integration is completed, but you also mentioned that the media investments will go up. So the sharp scale up, is it coming because last few years it was under spent in terms of advertising, but now because spends are increasing, that's helping in terms of the sales offtake?
Yeah, Abneesh, there were two, three questions there. Let me try and answer them one by one. I think what are the changes that we have made in the erstwhile RCCL business and what we have not yet made. Firstly, we have integrated entirely the RCCL distribution network with the GCPL distribution network. On average, this gives us about 400 to 500 bips of saving on distributor margin because GCPL distributor margins were lower than RCCL distributor margins. Number two, we have significantly scaled up advertising in RCCL to levels which are higher share of voice than share of market. We have some numbers mentally of share of voice by share of market, and these have been quite unprecedented for RCCL. Number three, that we have integrated the business. Approximately 30% of the erstwhile RCCL we have absorbed into RCCL related jobs in GCPL. Another bunch has been absorbed into other GCPL roles. But therefore, roughly 70% of overheads have been cut. These are the three things that have happened in the last 2 to 3 months. It has yielded good. Now, results have, you know, the first 3-4 months we didn't sell very much, mainly because we were trying to reduce stock, reduce SKUs. We had a very good September. Things are looking quite good in Q3 as well. What is the causality of the, how, you know, what is the exact amount of improvement, the causality? It is still early to say, Abneesh. We are putting all the right inputs in. We're broadly happy with the outputs, both in terms of profitability and revenue. Probably a little later, a few months later, we will know how much is advertising health, how much is distribution health, etc., etc.
Thanks, Sudhir. Two very quick follow-ups. One is because you are a very strong and relevant player in the DO category, and GCPL obviously is adding much more muscle to the brand. Do you see the overall category spends by other players also increasing, given there is an unlisted player for whom this is the main business? That is one part. Second is, now that you have run the, this business for a few months, from a distribution scale-up, because GCPL is multiple times the distribution of this company, where do you see, because now you'll have a better understanding, so within 2 to 3 years, I'm not asking about the H2 of this year, from a 2 to 3 years, what can be the conservative scale-up in terms of distribution?
Yeah, so listen, on first question, I don't know the answer on whether overall category heat will go up or not. What we do know is that the consumption of deodorants in India is low, and the more the category grows faster, the more all the players will benefit. So I feel it's a category that should be invested in. So, you know, it is not a category that is non-growing or a zero-sum game. It's a category that can, you know, can grow at, you know, in high teens or even 20%, you know, at the right levels of investment. So one way or the other, it doesn't bother us. I think we are investing what we think is appropriate, but either which way is less of a concern to us. In terms of distribution, we do have some early reads in distribution. One of the early reads is certainly in rural, pretty much this was a blank white space. So we are definitely seeing pure incremental sales in rural. General trade, GCPL was far stronger than RCCL. Modern trade, I mean, you know, RCCL was doing a pretty good job, and so were they in e-commerce. These channels are growing very well. So our positions, even the erstwhile RCCL had good positions in modern trade and e-commerce. And I think GCPL will be maybe the same or better, but definitely in the general trade system, we will see a lot of improvement. I think the area that we're working very closely to get to better than where we were is to devise and create a chemist system which takes the best of GCPL, RCCL. So we're setting up a new chemist system. Most of it is already done, which is a consolidated solid chemist operation for both GCPL and erstwhile RCCL products.
So my second and last question is on your other two businesses in India. So you mentioned on Adhik Maas impact and Shraddh impact, and you also mentioned that hopefully or possibly you could have been a bit more proactive here. So what did you mean by that, given this is an impact when consumers are not really using the hair color? What did you mean when you said that you could have been a bit more proactive? Second is downgrading in soaps and hair color. I know it is much lesser of a problem than detergent bars, but given the situation which is there currently and so much of gross margin expansion in soaps and hair color, clearly a lot of regional players, are you seeing downgrading because numbers are a bit weak? So wanted to understand, is it only one-offs which are there, or there is more to it?
So on hair color, you see, we know every year that July is Shravan month and, you know, hair color dips. What we missed this time was to forecast for the second additional Shravan month, since it happens once in 19 years. Organizational memory, you know, it's a long time for someone to pick it up saying, hey, there's a second month of Shravan this year. I think the learning here is, and this time, you know, the calendars have also moved, as everyone else has said, for the festive season. I think the miss here is to study the impact of the Indian calendar on demand a little bit more carefully. I guess that's the learning for us. So that's what I meant saying that, you know, we look at demand in terms of, you know, quarter one, quarter two as seasonality. We are now realizing that there's a clear relationship between the lunar calendar and demand drivers as well. That's something we need to predict better. I think this has been a wake-up call for us for that. But I think again, you know, what we have seen post-Shravan on hair color has enthused us quite a lot. I think on your answer on downgradation, see, the only way we can see these numbers, but it's a bit complex, is Q2 Shravan mass and, you know, postponing Diwali season. When we look at our market shares, they are very, very good right now. So, you know, last 3 months or MAT, they are across, not just India, across India and Indonesia, all our market shares are, everything in volume is positive, and in value, the only one that is slightly negative is household insecticide, where we are still losing a bit of share to incense sticks. But the share gain, for example, in hair colors is very, very strong. So I don't... I would prefer to say that it was a bit of an odd quarter in terms of calendar rather than downgrading.
There is one small follow-up. I understand Nielsen market share has got sampling and lead lag issue. My question was from a media intensity and from a promotions and general aggression in soaps and hair color, are you seeing local players coming back? Because I think that's far more important than Nielsen market share, because always there is some other issue there.
I think on hair color, unequivocally, no. On soaps, it is not. See, there was a time in which 15, 20 years ago, when soaps had a lot of local competition in its base. You know, as time has progressed in 15 years, that has shrunk. Even for other categories, it has shrunk, but they still remain large. So it is possible that at the margin in soaps, these kind of low prices are affecting volumes. It is certainly not in the large major states. Maybe in some parts of Eastern MP, Bihar, Odisha, there is a local play. It's hard for us to read it, except for Nielsen and the Kantar panel, where it's not. But I buy your point. There might be something, but it, you know, I also say, guys, come and talk to us when there's a local players are becoming very aggressive and we're losing volumes. You know, salespeople will come and tell us this is happening. That's not happening. So, I would say possibly in soap, but not, doesn't look to be a major thing. I mean, soap also had a good quarter in terms of volumes in Q1, so Q2 kind of slightly balances that out. So yeah.
Sure. Thanks, Sudhir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Percy from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sudhir. My first question is on Africa, the royalty arrangement that you have made. So basically, those are geographies which are making zero profit, but you will get about 50 crore of royalty, is what your expectation is. Which means that the person buying the business is expecting to make at least a 50 crore profit before royalty. So if they are able to do it, then why we are not able to make it profitable?
See, I think there are a couple of reasons for it. These markets are relatively low gross margin markets and high overhead cost structures that GCPL operates with. So we feel it is more appropriate in the hair fashion business when the gross margins are low. And, you know, we do need to have overheads which are high because we have governance requirements and so many requirements we have. So we just think that some of these markets are more appropriately run by a distributor. One has to look at this because we continue to own the brand. One has to look at this more in terms of a kind of a you know, a Coke bottling or a distributor somewhere in between that kind of model. We believe, see, the Angola and Uganda was already in this model in some form or the other, and it has been quite profitable for the last decade. Kenya and Tanzania are now moving to this model. Angola and Uganda are changing the way we're looking at this entire thing in a slightly different way in terms of accounting. But we do have evidence to suggest that in certain kinds of markets where A&P, R&D, innovations play less of a role, one has to be faster to market, quicker, with very, very low overhead, it is probably better for us to not do this ourselves. In any case, this zero that we're running is a positive kind of 50 in some profit-making markets and minus 50 in the loss-making markets, the sum of which is zero. So even if minus 50 goes to zero in East Africa, it will still remain at 50.
Understood. Secondly, I wanted to understand on household insecticide, what is the reason for the slowdown? Is it just the erratic monsoon, or is it something over and above that as well? I mean, you did mention some market share issues with the illegal incense stick, but Is that a material sort of driver of the overall performance or just something on the fringe?
Let's take two questions. One is the shorter term. Shorter term, it has definitely been weather. Weather does play a role in household insecticide. Last quarter, we had a very good quarter. This quarter, August month in particular, as all of you know, was an exceptionally dry month. September, rained again, so October. So it definitely varies. So there's definitely, when you look at our results across quarters, there's definitely an impact of weather, and this has been a particularly bad quarter. And this will happen, Percy. There'll be a good quarter in terms of weather, a bad quarter in terms of weather. There is a longer-term story that, we have been losing share for a longer period, not just us, but the entire category to illegal incense sticks. That trend has, in some ways, actually reduced over the last 12 months, the loss of share, broadly speaking. Our own underlying volume growth, we feel, has gone from being between 0 and 2 to being, let us say, between 3 and 5. And this has been mainly on the back of the new SKUs that we launched, which democratized the category. But this 3 and 5, or let's say 4 volume, is still significantly below the potential of the category. And in the next few quarters, as we spoke in the May annual analyst review, I had said that give us 12 months, we'll come with a structural solution. We will come with a structural solution quite soon that we hope will move this category to high single-digit kind of volumes.
Right. And last quick question is on margins. So this quarter, you have delivered close to a 30% EBITDA growth. Do you think your margin levers are more or less fully exercised and seasonally adjusted margins from here on should be sort of flat?
No, I think we should continuously improve margins for three reasons. One is our GAUM margins are low and they will fundamentally improve. Two is our Indonesia margins are also below normative margins, and we think that that business should improve margins. We also think that there are structural cost savings that are possible in India, which without affecting investments in pricing or A&P can continue to deliver some incremental margin every year. So I don't think that the margin expansion is over. Bulk of the margin expansion will come from Indonesia and GAUM, though.
Right. And just one request for GAUM when you report going ahead, because part of the business is sort of franchised out, the EBITDA margin will look sort of optically higher because the top line flows directly to the bottom line for some part of the business. So just a request is to give some kind of adjusted margin on a like-for-like basis, which sort of gives a better picture of the business.
We'll give something which you can. So Percy will kind of try to give you something which will kind of give you a flavor of how the underlying margins are moving.
Great, great. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vivek from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Sudhir and team.
Hi, Vivek.
What the previous two participants asked, once last quarter.
Vivek, sorry, we are losing your audio. May I request to come in a better reception area, please?
Sorry, is it better now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. So, Sudhir, last quarter you had mentioned on RCCL that there was some destocking which was expected even in the second quarter. But 142 crore number. Is that, this primary, secondary is kind of coinciding in some ways, or, so is this the number, or it could have been higher had not been for destocking?
I mean, I think it could have been higher if without destocking, because you see, we had a very poor July and August and exceptionally good September. As I was telling Abneesh, it is still hard for me to read how much of this was because the pipelines were dry, how much of this was because of demand increase due to advertising, how much of it was due to better distribution. It's difficult for me to read. What we do know is that we know the following, which is that RCCL distributors were on average sitting at 75 days of stock. GCPL distributors are sitting at 20 days of stock. That is a fact. Probably the stock at the trade also has come down because we have reduced the SKUs. It's hard for me to give a number, but we have definitely in a four-month period lost 60 days of stock and delivered 140 crores, which is very close to the average of RCCL. We bought this business roughly at about 600 crores, 620 crores.
And we have, you know, reduced about 10 to 15% of revenue through SKU cuts. So certainly the September number is a creditable number, which was really the one that, you know, pulled up the quarter, whichever way you look at it.
Got it. And on the EBITDA, you know, the slide says US EBITDA to be positive despite scale up in media investments. So one is good to see, you know, the investment side, but what do you exactly mean by estimate EBITDA to be positive? Is it at a full year level? Is it second half?
No, we meant at a quarter level, Vivek. As you know, now it's very hard for us to estimate what is the overheads of the RCCL business. So we can only run a roughly estimated based on what it was and so on. So it's difficult to give an exact EBITDA number for RCCL now. But having account, because we know what the, you know, the gross margins are, what the net contribution after advertising and BTL is, that can be allocated to a business. We know approximately what the overheads are likely to have been because of the reductions that we have, leave alone the one-time costs of, you know, that we've had to bear. So that is why our estimate is that despite significant increases and very, very significant increases in media, by the way, we feel that this business was probably EBITDA positive in the quarter.
Got it. And on HIPs, what is the estimated incense stick, you know, share right now at a category level?
I think, you know, these are Nielsen available numbers. I'll just ask, it's in the teens. It's in the late teens.
Late teens, okay. And again, we have, you know, discussed about, you know, HI on this call as well as in the past. But just one thing, you know, even if, you know, the intervention that you make, basically there is this piece of the market which is very difficult for you to capture. Is that a fair, you know, thought process?
Well, Vivek, why don't we get back to you on this? I think, you know, I said last in May, give us 12 months. Why don't you, rather than my telling you what we want to do on HI, which is, you know, right now confidential, we shouldn't speak about it till we do it. I think the bigger question in HI is that this is a market that should grow, or we should be growing at high single digit volumes. That you know, and we think it's possible. We think we know what the answer is, and we will bring it into play pretty soon. And let's leave it there for now.
Sure.
If we don't do anything at the next analyst conference in May, you can say you guys haven't, but give us still the time that we asked.
Right. Sir. And lastly, one quick question on staff cost. Can you? So there is a fair. I know the base, you know, is a bit off, but can you just talk about if there is anything to read into it? Sequentially, also it has moved up a bit.
So that because of RCCL.
So Vivek, hi, Akshaya. So there have been a little bit of a true-up which has happened in this quarter, and hence you see a bit of a spike in this quarter compared to last year's base. It should kind of even out as we kind of go through the year.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Arnab Mitra from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Sudhir. My first question is again on the Africa restructuring. So just wanted to understand this better in terms of what happens to the assets on the ground, because you may have manufacturing capabilities or working capital there.
Arnab, I'm sorry, but your voice is not coming very clearly. We are losing your audio in between.
Is this better?
No.
But we can hear, Arnab. It's okay. We can hear.
Go ahead, Arnab.
So my question was in Africa, you know, what happens to the assets in the business which you are franchising out in terms of manufacturing, working capital, how much of capital employed does it release, if at all? And secondly, is this only for dried hair? And is this a model which is replicable in other parts of Africa or other geographies like LATAM? Or this is very particular to this block in East Africa where profitability was very low?
Yeah, so Annabai. Firstly, just kind of to clarify, it's not that we're executing a transaction today. We've got a kind of in principle direction to kind of move ahead with simplifying the operation in a few countries. The simplification is only for dry hair or hair fashion. And over the next few months, we will kind of work out the exact nature of the deal and how we're going to kind of simplify this operation. It will include clearing out certain assets which we have on the ground, and all those exact nuances will be kind of done over the next few months. As we indicated, the deal should be kind of done and settled more towards early part of Q4. The second part of the question, in terms of the rest of the business, the rest of the business model remains exactly as it stands today, and that business is significantly high gross margin. It's been growing at very significant rates, and we remain kind of committed to growing that further.
Okay, understood, understood. The second question was on Indonesia, where your growth rates have been pretty good. But what we understand is that the macro has been quite weak in Indonesia for FMCG consumption. So is it largely a base effect for you, or do you feel your categories and your initiatives are such that you are being able to do well despite the macro environment? Why I'm asking this is the low base will obviously run out in a couple of quarters time. And do you worry that the growth rates could come off at that stage?
Arnab, I think it is true that we've had a low base, but I think the real truth is that the relaunch that we did of household insecticide a few quarters ago, where we increased the efficacy of our products by 5x, seems to be resulting in a pretty significant sequential growth. So that has been the driver of the Indonesia performance, apart from a poor base. And therefore, I do anticipate reasonably good performance in Indonesia because, you know, we're also seeing market shares, we're seeing sequential volume offtakes of household insecticide, and there's a cause and effect here. So that has been the bigger driver for us rather than base, because we have achieved what we had forecast also. We had forecast something based on knowing what last year's base, etc. was, but we have done better than that.
Okay, okay. Thanks. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aditya Soman from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. So just following up on Indonesia, you mentioned that the margins there were something that you can improve. So any specific measures that you think you can drive to improve margins there?
I think there is definitely net revenue management that can be better in Indonesia, pricing, BTL access. I think there is further savings in overheads that are possible now that we have moved to the RD system. So a combination of overheads and better NRM are what will drive margins in Indonesia.
Understand. And any sense of guidance on what you feel the right level of margins that this is?
You know, we used to have historic margins were well below that. I don't know whether we hit the historic margins or not, but mentally, you know, mentally, the kind of portfolio that we have, both in India and Indonesia, you know, mid-20s margins is not something that is over margin or you can't grow at that level. So, I mean, obviously we'll keep kind of calibrating growth and margins, but, you know, Indonesia is significantly below that right now. It used to be that level not long ago.
Understand. And lastly, in terms of the underlying demand environment in India, anything to call out? Have you seen any pickup, let's say, in October? As you mentioned, September was quite strong. Any improvement in October or anything to call out to be expect? I heard you say earlier that you expect a recovery from 4Q and not necessarily 3Q, but any reasons behind that?
The demand environment in India is tough. I mean, the premium, you know, I think most of you know it, and we've been seeing a lot of other sectors that, you know, this K-shaped recovery that all of us talk about continues. You know, premium is doing well, modern trade, e-commerce, they continue to do well. The balance is definitely under pressure. That's the bigger story, and I'm not seeing any major change in that relative story there. Within that, yeah, I mean, October is a festive month. There's been some calendar change with Shravan, etc., etc. So, I mean, definitely some of those things are bearing out and will bear out, I think, in, you know, Q3.
Okay, thank you. The rest of my questions are the month.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Richard Liu from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Just want to check, am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. Sudhir, you know, just one question, not really asking for guidance, but, you know, come to think of it, you know, if you look at, you know, your margin is now at around that 20% level. If I look at last year, which is FY23, H1 versus H2, the margin pictures obviously were very, very different. And the full margin recovery has somewhat happened, at least at the operating margin level, by the time we came to H2 FY23, right? And so look, FY23 last year was already at 20.5. Your run rate currently is at 20. Now, if your top line growth doesn't pick up, and given that there is all these headwinds, you know, that you still talked about, are we, you know, looking at a situation where your earnings growth, EBITDA growth, could fall from, you know, the mid-20s to, let's say, single digits if your top line doesn't pick up?
No, see, firstly, Richard, you know, the shape of our portfolio is such that the H2 margins are structurally higher than the H1 margins. Soaps is smaller. A lot of our dry hair businesses and the more premium businesses pick up now. So, you know, it's not entirely right to say that, you know, H1 of this year can be compared to H2 of last year. I mean, our growth in volume terms is about 6% this quarter. Our last quarter was about 10. I think we're somewhere in between these two. I know a lot of this, the revenue growth, as I said, is either because of palm oil prices being low, which has no impact on margins, or because of currency translation that doesn't have, again, you know, any major cash impact. So I don't think what you're saying, I don't know, but I don't think that will happen in the foreseeable future.
Okay, I understood about the seasonality of margin, but is there a chance that, you know, that the top line picture in terms of growth will look very different in H2 versus what we are seeing right now? Because if you look at, you know, the Africa impact, if you look at the soaps price offs, you know, those numbers are still going to be there in Q3 and maybe part of Q4 as well, right?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, again, as I said, this revenue number, one has to look at a little bit of caution, especially non-India. But I don't think that the volume trajectory, you see, our volume trajectory between the first two quarters is about 7%. Is that right, Tapan? I mean, that we should not be, and that's not bad actually. You know, I think that's an improvement in our trajectory in H1 over. So, you know, ups and downs happen between quarters and months. I don't anticipate that revenue trajectory in the next 6 months changing. I hope that changes a little bit more once we sort out household insecticide. But if this business grows at, you know, let's say second half similar to first half, then and there is seasonality in margins, which there is, then you will be able to calculate for yourself what the earnings growth will be.
Okay, got it. That's helpful, Sunil. Thank you. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Godrej Consumer Products Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.